Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. Thanks so much for joining us today. Well, do you ever feel like you're held captive of other people's expectations of you? Like you're stuck somewhere between being not enough for some people and maybe too much for others? Well, sometimes it's difficult to see God's vision of who we are over and above the vision that we let others set for us. So how can we live in a way that honors both who God created us to be and also celebrates the freedom that we have in knowing who He is as well? Well, my guest for today calls living out of that space being wild and free, wild as a creation of God's almighty creation and free as redeemed by Jesus Christ. So let me tell you a little bit about my guest for today. We'll hear more from her about what it means to live wild and free. Jess Connolly is the founder of the Naptime Diaries print shop, co-founder of the Influence Network, and she's passionate about using her words to point women to Jesus through writing and speaking. She and her husband planted a church in Charleston, South Carolina, where they live with their four children, all under 10 years old. She blogs at jessconley.com. Welcome, Jess.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. It's great to have you here today. And it is a hot, steamy day in the Midwest, but I'm guessing it pales in comparison to what you're experiencing there in Charleston.
It is hot and steamy here, yes. I would agree with both of those words.
Well, summertime is such a great time. It's a fun time for me. I'm a teacher and I have children, so it's fun to have most of the summer off. And I'm guessing you're experiencing that a little bit as well.
I am. It is wild and crazy here. I got all the kids out for summer, and I am currently doing this interview in my car, which is the quietest place on my property.
And you can lock the doors as well.
I can't lock the doors. My husband is inside with them, I should say. It is not, you know, it's not a free-for-all right now. It is a wild and fun summer that we're in the midst of right now.
Well, speaking of the world, the word wild, you've written this fabulous book called Wild and Free with your friend Haley Morgan. So how did the two of you come up with this desired way of living, of being wild and free?
Yeah, such a good question. And, you know, the honest truth is that this is a phrase, the phrase wild and free, is something Haley and I just started trading back and forth to encourage one another. We're in similar life stages, but we live in really different communities. I'm here in the Southeast. She's in the Midwest, where you all are. And we just noticed that as we were walking in life, as we were walking in ministry and motherhood and just normal everyday life, that when we would bump up against any kind of conflict or and even like a new season or even happy things, that both of us have very different tendencies to respond negatively, but that the answer to both of them was this encouragement to live wild and free. Haley might shrink back or get fearful if something's going wrong, and I might get a little more testier and louder. But the answer for both of us was wild and free. We just started saying it. And I don't even think that we knew what it meant. But we just kind of had this feeling underneath that, like, if we were to live wild and free, we wouldn't feel this negative way that we're feeling, whatever that feeling was. Go ahead.
I just loved how you explained in your book how you tend to come off as being this maybe too much. You get louder when you're feeling uncomfortable or defensive, and she's the exact opposite. And it was just such a great way to explain the differences between so many of us. We're either not enough or too much, but regardless, both of those inhibit us from feeling free, correct?
Yes, exactly. And it's funny, you know, we really notice that those are our base feelings, but we feel different things in different relationships, right? So there are, most of my relationships, I would say, there's a temptation for me to feel like I'm a little too much, but there are some relationships where, or some even settings or environments where I feel very not enough. And it was just good to start to realize, like, this is my base reaction to things, and this is your base reaction to things. And the cultures we're in are very different, but the answer to all of them is the same. And so we really started asking ourselves, like, what does that phrase mean? And, you know, we're both Christian women. Is it biblical? Like, is what we're saying to each other right? So we really started asking that question first. And what we found as we talked, just the two of us to encourage one another, was this sense that God really is wild, and the way that he created us is wild, and that God really is free, and that he gave us freedom through Jesus. And so we really can kind of stake our claim to those words.
So wild is not, it doesn't equal unconstrained or out of control. It has more to do with this creation that God has accomplished through us, correct?
Exactly. And I mean, I think even just rephrasing what unrestrained looks like, because that is maybe a word I would use, but restrained by what? I would say wild is compelled by the love of our Creator, but maybe not so much restrained by what our culture says we're supposed to be. Wild meaning, you know, the best way we can relate it to, Haley and I both laugh a lot that there are a lot of animal references in the book. And you would think that both of us must be just intense animal lovers, but we're not. But that just happens to be the metaphor that tends to work a lot for us. But we say, you know, thinking about wild animals, thinking about how they relate to one another and their surroundings, very sure of what they're meant to do without having to have a lot of input, because they're created beings, and knowing that we're different, humans are different, and at the same time, a lot of the constraints and the conformity that we look to help us feel better and to help us feel at ease is not really necessary if we're children of God, if we're daughters of God.
Well, and when I think about the opposite of wild, of being in this cage, like unable to explore or stretch or even move around, you write that sometimes that is how women feel, but sometimes we've kind of put ourselves there in that cage-like existence by just allowing other people or culture to define who we are. Talk a little bit more about that and how that fits into your theme of wild and free.
Absolutely. There's a chapter in the book that I love that actually Haley wrote that's called When We Prefer Captivity. And we realized that feeling is in both of us and in a lot of us. The feeling that we'd rather fit in and we'd rather be liked and we'd rather be approved of than necessarily be who we're supposed to be in the Lord. It feels good, right, to know that you're hitting all the marks you're supposed to hit. It feels good to know that you're making people happy. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with loving people and serving people and putting others better than ourselves. But there is something very wrong with making that the aim of our life when the aim of our life is meant to be to give God glory. Mm. But we find that desire deep in both of us to just fit back in. And we've said, even through the writing process, even through the publishing process and launching the book, we see this kind of ever-present temptation to go back into captivity, to trade our freedom for approval, and to kind of shirk the reality that we already have all the approval that we need in Jesus.
So when you say that we're free, kind of unpack that a little bit. What do women need to know about, you know, being wild in that we've been created to be who God has made us to be? But what does the freedom part mean?
Yeah. When we talk about freedom, we're talking about really three different things. Free from our past, free in our present, and free in our future. And we find that women get tripped up in some part of that. So we find a lot of women who don't feel free from their past. Maybe there's hidden sin. Maybe there's a part of their story they're really ashamed of. Maybe even we're talking about their past as in yesterday, and they have a really hard time reconciling small mistakes or big mistakes and understanding those in light of the gospel. We also find women, and I find this in myself, who have a hard time being free in the present. Really resting in the work that Jesus did for them and knowing that right now who they are in Christ is acceptable. Mm-hmm. you know, the kind of women I'm raising my hand right now, the kind of women like me who are always wanting to be a better version of themselves, always looking to when they're going to get better, when things are going to grow, or when the next season is going to come. But knowing that really the Lord has drawn pleasant lines for us. And that when Christ gave us freedom, he didn't just free us from our past, but he also freed us from our present, knowing that we would still sin and would always need his grace, and that we would kind of constantly need him to be at ease in the world. We would constantly need the gospel. And lastly, we just encourage women to really think about the freedom they have in the future, being free from fear of what might come in the future, being free from the need to strive or build something or become something, but knowing that the Lord holds all of those things, our past, our present, and our future.
Oh my goodness. I think that was my favorite part of your book when you were just talking about how sometimes we as Christ followers have this perception that we choose this life with Christ and we think that that's it, that that's the one time that he has come into our lives, that he's kind of turned things around and that we should be good to go now for the rest of our lives. And then when we come into this point where we're like, wait a minute, I'm not performing or thoughts that I should be thinking, or maybe I'm still engaging in some sinful behavior, but he's already fixed me. And so what am I supposed to do with that? And women especially seem particularly sensitive to this, that, wait a minute, I thought I already took care of that.
Yeah, exactly. I thought I wasn't a sinner anymore. and you know, we're not. We're children of God by identity and who we've been made to be. And we're no longer daughters of wrath. We're daughters of the King, who still sins and who still need grace. We talk about that a lot in relation to being in relationship and being in community. And we find that's one of the quickest ways we see this crop up as an issue, is that we enter into relationship, let's say it's marriage or friendship or even relationship with our children. And after we become believers, there isn't this very present feeling when we enter in a relationship where we look at one another and say, you are going to mess up and I know you're going to mess up and I'm going to forgive you. We kind of present our best foot forward and come together as believers, and we do this in the church and in relationship, and say, like, this is who I am, and it's great, and God's good, without really owning up to the fact that, like, I'm still struggling. I am really still finding my footing here on earth. I am really still figuring out who I am as a daughter, and that is actually, if I'm very honest, going to affect you. It's going to mean that occasionally I hurt you. It's going to mean maybe that occasionally I don't even hurt you by accident, but I hurt you because I mean to, because I'm a sinner. And I'm going to grow and I'm going to be compelled to change by God's grace. But I'm going to ask that you recognize that I need the gospel, and I'm going to give you the grace too. The phrase we throw around a lot is, you know, almost not being surprised by our need for Jesus. That we shouldn't be surprised by our need for Jesus, that we shouldn't be surprised that other people in our life still need Jesus and still need him to grow and change. And that would really help a lot of us. We felt free in our present to know, I'm still working here. The Lord is still working on me here.
Well, and you write about how we do give that cursory, good, how are things? Good. How are you? Good. And that maybe it would be a little more healing or much more honest with ourselves if we would simply look at that question on a daily basis and say, well, how good am I really doing? And how can God help me in that?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I say death to the good. Death to the easy good. But good, I say mine is typically what I used to say. I feel like I've been a lot more cautious about it since writing the book, because obviously if you're going to lead women in something, you should try to do it yourself. But mine was always, you know, good, busy, but good. I think that just rolled off my tongue. Good, busy, but good. What does that even mean? I'm good, busy, but good. That doesn't mean anything.
Then it requires a little bit more conversation, at least.
It does. Yeah, it does. And a little bit more honesty and a little bit more grace. And it also requires that we listen back and hear when people are willing to tell us, like, oh, you know, I'm actually not great today. I'm pretty discouraged. Okay, tell me more about that, you know?
Well, I'm talking with Jess Connolly today. She's written a book with her friend Haley Morgan called Wild and Free. It's a hope-filled anthem for the woman who feels that she's both too much and never enough. If you've ever felt that way, you should listen in to the next part of our show. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back with Jess Connolly on Connecting Faith. For joining us this afternoon. I'm Joe Bender and talking today with Jess Connolly. She's an author and a blogger and an entrepreneur as well. She's written a book called Wild and Free. It's a hope-filled anthem for the woman who feels like she's both too much and never enough. Maybe you've felt like that at one point in time. Jess, you do write about just this need to kind of play life a little bit safe sometimes, that when we're confronted with something that makes us uncomfortable, we'd rather shrink back than kind of go forward. Talk a little bit more about that and maybe how that's been an issue in your life.
Absolutely. I noticed a few years ago, I would say specifically when my kids were really young, I mean, they're still fairly young, but when they were 3, 2, and 1 or 4, 3, and 2, I noticed this like kind of burning question in the back of my heart where I think a lot of women feel. I just kind of felt like, what is this all for? What is this all for? What are we doing here? And I've always been a little bit of an existential thinker. My mom always jokes and says, I'm the girl who, like, if I look in the mirror too long, I'll start to like question all of existence. But I would just really wonder, like, what are we doing here? I mean, I know the Lord started all this, but what are we doing? What are we getting after? And I'm doing the same thing day in and day out. I'm changing diapers and I'm taking out the trash and I'm doing the dishes and I'm putting food on the table and I'm meeting friends for coffee and I'm getting groceries and I'm putting them up and I'm writing emails and doing it again and again and again. And is anything changing? Is anything shifting? And I noticed, honestly, that I realized I was in a season where taking care of other people is a big part of my job and that it can be world-changing and it can be life-changing, you know, to speak life over my children and my home. And that is ministry and that is good. But I noticed a lot of my life was made up, not even of that small hidden ministry, but of maintenance. Of trying to keep my life tidy and clean and put together. And by that, I mean things like lots of dry cleaning or, you know, reorganizing the toys constantly or the 3 times a day that I would reset my kids' shoes up because it bothered me when they were all over the floor. And those are small examples, but our lives are really made up of a lot of maintenance. And I think especially here in America, if we're honest and we kind of look at our schedule and look at our days, we'll find there's a lot of maintenance. There's a lot that we do just to keep things going that isn't necessarily shifting anything. And so I just kind of started asking, Lord, what is this about? And, you know, how do I do this with joy? And how do I do this with you in mind? And I realized that I could kind of see a clear divide. I could see things that I did that were maintenance that really served the way I ministered to people. For example, making meals. We have to eat 3 times a day, apparently. I always joke, I don't know why my kids are always wanting to eat 3 times a day. I feel like, I actually just fed you 4 hours ago. Why are we talking again about another meal? But apparently that's a thing. We're supposed to eat 3 times a day. So we do that. But you know what? That serves this bigger thing. It keeps my children alive. And that feels important. I want to love them. I believe they're going to change the world in their own special way. And so, okay, I'll feed them lunch. That makes sense. But then I found all these other parts of my life that were really about keeping us safe and tidy and keeping our lives very, very secure. They weren't really impacting the kingdom. And they weren't really making anything better. They weren't bringing life to us, but they were keeping us safe and they were keeping us in a shell. And that's my suburban mom experience. But I found that women across America have things that they're doing that are really just keeping them secure, whether that's things that they're doing just to make people like them, or things that they're doing just to keep their job, or things that they're doing to secure some kind of notoriety within society. But they're really not sure what that why it matters. Why am I doing this? Why does it matter? Do I care about this? Is this important to me? Is this blessing the Lord? Is it changing the kingdom? Is it shifting anything in the spiritual? And I just started to really ask myself honestly, do I want to get to the end of this life really tidy? Is that going to be the goal of my life, to have done 60 or 70 or 80 years and done it in a really organized fashion, to have eaten the three meals a day and kept the shoes very tidy and stayed on the schedule and, you know, done what I thought was expected of me wherever I was at to the best of my ability? Or do I want to put my eyes on the Lord and ask him, what do you want to do with this life? And I'll hold my hands up to you, and I'll hold these hours up to you and these children up to you and our house and all of our dollars, and say the aim of my life is not going to be to be tidy and safe. The aim of my life is going to be to give you glory. And so that's a scary question. That's a frightening question. But I've found that it's not even that life looks wildly different, but I feel a lot of freedom to listen to the Lord rather than to listen to this structure of safety and organized tidiness that seemed set out for me.
I have a good friend who has four children as well, and I remember just lamenting to her probably hundreds of times just about exactly what you were talking about. Why am I doing this? How am I doing this? And she said, Joe, you're just laying the groundwork. Anytime someone asks me what I'm doing or how I'm getting through, I say, I'm just laying the groundwork. She said, because someday there is going to be an amazing garden filled with amazing things that happen because we laid the groundwork.
So good. It's so good. So wise.
Good to have some moms who've gone before us to encourage us. Well, if you're listening today, you're listening to author Jess Connolly. She's written a book called Wild and Free. And we're just talking about what does it mean to feel free and to feel wild based on who God has created us to be, who he is, and what his expectations are for us. Well, we're going to talk more about that when we come back after the break. But if you're listening today and you think, hey, I've felt that way, or maybe I know someone who has, we do have a few copies of Jess's book to give away. She's written it with her friend Haley Morgan. You can give us a call, or better yet, if you can go to our website at myfaithradio.com, click on Connecting Faith. You can submit your name that way, and the word wild and free in the subject line will put you into a drawing and draw for those books at the end of the show. So you're listening to Connecting Faith. We'll be right back with Jess Connolly and Wild and Free. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us today. Having a conversation today with author Jess Connolly. She's written a book called Wild and Free. Jess is a writer. She's also the founder of Naptime Diaries Print Shop. She's co-founder of the Influence Network, which I will have her explain in just a minute. She is passionate about using her words to point women to Jesus through writing and speaking. She and her husband planted a church in the Charleston, South Carolina area where they currently live with their four children. She blogs at jessconnolly.com. We'll have a link to that on our website as well. Jess, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Influence Network, how that came to be, and how God really led you to start that?
Absolutely. Well, Haley and I started it together, which we also wrote the book together. We love doing things together, of course. So Haley and I were both bloggers. We were both mommy bloggers. So maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, we connected on the internet, and we both just wrote about our families, trips to the zoo or new ways we were doing our laundry. And we were just the type of women who would put that stuff online, and we connected by doing that. And we had really different backgrounds. Haley had some business background and was really interested in online business. And I had a ministry background. My husband is a pastor. And so I had been to a million and one, it felt like, women's conferences. And Haley had been to a lot of creative businesswoman conferences or blogging conferences or writing conferences. And we started talking and we started saying, you know what, we really wish there was something that kind of combined both of these things. That combined the gospel and God's wisdom, as well as some encouragement about our creativity or our passions and our pursuits. And so out of that, we started the Influence Conference back in 2012. We hosted, is that right? Yep, 2012, we decided to host our first conference. Neither of us had ever hosted a conference before. We had no idea what we were doing. But we just put online, hey, we're going to have a conference. We went to a hotel and said, can we have a conference here? And we were thrilled when 250 women showed up and wanted to be a part of this. And in the midst of hosting that first conference, we had a Facebook page where we had the women connecting and talking to one another. And Haley and I both noticed that every time we went on the Facebook page, there were just dozens and dozens of notifications that these women were talking to each other all day on the Facebook page. They were really attempting to encourage and equip one another in all areas of life, in their jobs, in their homes, in their families, in their passions, their pursuits, their projects, everything. And we just realized, like, oh, this is a thing. And so we decided to build the network as an addition to the conference. Really as a host for the conference, and build an online space where women could be equipped and could connect with one another all year long. And so the Influence Network is really just an online community of women who are desiring to be equipped in the God-given influence that they have. And that looks like a million different things as far as what their influence looks like. We try to cater to college students or young adults or working moms and single moms, and really just try to meet women where they're at and equip them through weekly classes and through forums and through community groups throughout the country.
Mm. Well, and how can people find out more about that? Can they, I'll put that on our website as well, but where would they go to connect with you?
To theinfluencenetwork.com is where they go to find out more about that.
Excellent. We will put that on there as well so people can find out more. You know, one of the subjects that you write a lot about, obviously, because you are a mom and also feel very much, is these expectations that other moms seem to put on each other. In fact, you speak to the fact that women in our culture kind of live under this heavy burden, and sometimes it's ourselves, but sometimes it's others. How do you resist those unrealistic expectations that are set by other women, unfortunately, and just remain free to be who God has asked you specifically to be?
Whew, that is the number one question. How do you do that? Here is how I personally do it. I recognize that there are a lot of expectations, and the reality is that there are a lot of humans, specifically women, who may seem to be judging the way one mom or another is living her life or just fulfilling God's call in her life. And I really just try to take a step back and say, you know what, we're all just trying to figure this out. And I think a lot of times when we put expectations on other people, it's because we want some kind of footing for ourselves. And I have been there before. I always tell women, I feel like I've been every type of mom, and I've only been a mom for 9 years. I've been a working mom. I've been a stay-at-home mom. I've been a kind of working mom. I've been a strict mom. I've been a really lax mom. I've been like the natural foods mom, and I've been the McDonald's mom. I feel like I've been all of them. And depending on what community I was in, I just tried to fit the mold. How are other women acting? That's how I want to act. But that's exhausting. Mm-hmm. And that's exhausting for anyone trying to fit into those molds. And so I'd say 2 or 3 years ago, I just realized my husband and I have actually moved a ton for ministry. And it was after a recent move. And I just kind of said, like, no, I can't do it. I cannot do it. I cannot change again. And that left me with kind of a void of not knowing, where do I fit? Who am I supposed to be? What kind of flavor of a mom and a woman am I? And the only place I knew to go was to the Lord and say, you tell me who I'm supposed to be. You tell me the kind of woman you've made me to be. You tell me the kind of mom that you've made me to be. And I'll do that. And that's what I would encourage women to do, to shake your head a little bit and say, you know what? If somebody's putting some expectations on me, it's probably not about me. It's probably about them, because this is hard and there's this constant struggle. And honestly, I think the best way we can fight it is living wild and free, is looking to the Lord and saying, who did you make me to be? And what do you want me to do? And how do you want me to do it? I will do it. And it not only kind of proves the point of, it's just hard to argue with anyone else who says, like, I'm listening to the Lord about who he wants me to be. I'm reading his word. I'm getting wise counsel, and this is who he's calling me to be. It's hard to argue with that. And so that kind of, like, settles that one bit of anyone putting expectations on you. But other than that, what we talk about in the book a lot is really the idea that when we live wild and free, it calls other women to do it as well. They want to do that. They want to abandon the expectations and the cultural burdens that we've put on one another. And they then want to live wild and free. They want to put down the expectations that they're putting on other people and the ones that other people have been putting on them as well.
Well, you do list some great just kind of ways to get started on how do you become wild and free. You listed a couple of those just in that last question, but maybe you could outline those a little bit more. What are some great ways for women to get started of understanding who they are and whose they are?
Absolutely. And I will back up just one sentence. And, you know, we say this so often that it might sound like semantics to people, but it's really important to us that women hear us say, these would not be steps for us to encourage women to be wild and free, or to start living wild and free, because we really genuinely believe that all women in Jesus, who have faith in the Lord, are wild and free. And that's a really important distinction for us, because the last thing Haley and I wanted to write was a how-to book or a guidebook or a step-by-step guide to be better or to become something, because we believe intrinsically, as daughters of God who put their faith in the Lord through Jesus, we are wild and we are free. Mm-hmm. And so the steps are really just, hey, here are some ways if you want to kind of practice your wild and free, if you want to stretch it out, if you want to grow that muscle, here are some ways that we can encourage you that are really biblical, because there are things that Jesus did or things that we see in the Lord's character through us. I always start with telling women, you know, like, get feel free, first of all, to get a little bit weird, to know that when we really just take a few steps back and maybe, like, look at this world from a bird's eye view, like, a lot of what we do as normal is not really normal. It's just what we do. And so to really listen to the Lord, it's okay, number one, to get a little bit weird. I cannot suggest enough. I mean, I cannot suggest enough that women genuinely spend time with the Lord. This is something I would say to a friend I was having coffee with, or to, you know, thousands of women if I was teaching them. I think we really take for granted our ability to be in communion with God, but that Jesus Christ died on a cross that we might have intimacy with God. And so the best way I can tell women to be wild and free is crack open that Bible and read it and devour it and ask God to change you through it and genuinely talk to God and believe that he wants to speak back to you through his word, through his spirit. Ask him to be loud in your life and ask him to give you direction and ask him to give you wisdom. And I think so often we look at other humans, we look at each other and say, like, how do I do this? Or what do I do? Or what's next? When I think so often the Lord is like, I'm right here. I just want to talk to you. I have things to say. So that would be one of my big ones. A few other things we say about, you know, here's what a wild woman does. A wild woman speaks life. Our father's native language is to speak life. When we look in Genesis and him saying, this is good, let there be, and then there was, I mean, that is what our father likes to say. He likes to say good, positive things. And sometimes he has to say slightly negative things, but they are always for our good. And so we say, you know, one way, if you're feeling like, you know what, I'm not very wild and free, one of the most beautiful ways we can be, we can just stretch it out and convince ourselves of our wild freedom is to speak life. Just choose. It's something, it's like there's so few ways that we can make ourselves change, but you can choose right now to send a text to someone to encourage them. Mm. You can choose right now to walk into your kid's bedroom and tell them five things you love about them. You can choose right now to write a list of all the things that you're grateful for and the ways that God's changed you. And so there's so few ways that we can make ourselves change. We have to kind of wait for the Spirit to do that work. But this is one of those ways where I feel like we can just immediately take a step out and say, you know what, I am wild and free. I don't believe I'm caged. I don't believe that I'm stuck. I believe that God's mighty in me, and I'm gonna do what he does. I'm going to speak life. Mm-hmm. We encourage women to call each other up and not out, and that goes along with the speaking life. It's one of our favorite parts of the whole book, where we say, you know, Haley and I said we never wanted to write a guidebook, and we also never wanted to write a book telling women what they could or couldn't do, because in Christian culture, this is sticky, right? Different cultures interpret different things. Different churches interpret different things about what women should or shouldn't do or what they can and can't do. And so we just said, you know what? We never want to address that. We feel like we'll let people handle that as they interpret the word and as they are in their own places of worship. And likewise, even as a pastor's wife and as a friend, I try very, very, very hard to never call people out. And what I mean by that is we have this Christian rhythm of going to people and telling them their sin and kind of, again, back to early in our conversation, almost acting as if we're surprised by their sin and we're shocked by it. And instead, we believe a really wild and free way to be in a relationship is to call one another up. Even when someone hurts you or even when there's something to correct, to go and say, I actually know that this is not who you are. This is who you are. That I'm going to speak these biblical truths over you, and this remind you of your identity as a daughter of God. And I'm going to call you up to the place that you live, which is a holy place of an ambassador of a people set apart. And just constantly calling the people up around us rather than calling them down is a great way to stretch our wild freedom. I think there's lots of things in the free department as far as just refusing to worry, just saying, you know what, I'm a free woman, and so I'm going to watch even the things that slip out of my mouth or the things that I constantly obsess over, and I'm going to say with my mouth and with my heart and however else I can, I am actually not going to worry about this. I'm going to believe that God holds my past, my present, and my future, and that he works all things for the good of those who love him, and that he is holding me and will hold me and has gone before me and will go behind me. I find just doing things like that is really powerful, just watching the things that we say and we do and asking ourselves, why am I doing this? Why am I saying this? Is it actually walking out my relationship with him, or is it walking out of fear? Or is it walking out of wanting to be liked? So those are just a few examples.
I love how you just articulate the need that we have as women to hear from other women that they're speaking life into us as well. I mean, it's hard to say that that's what we need, but when it happens, then you know
yeah.
that how essential that is to get us through not
yeah.
only each day, but through some troublesome times as well. I had a good friend who passed away a couple of months ago, and I remember just mourning the loss of her encouragement each day. And I was sitting in the pews at her funeral and realizing as people were speaking about her, oh my goodness, she does this for everyone. Everyone said the same things, that she was this light of encouragement in their lives. And I just thought, that's just one person who did that for these hundreds of people who are sitting here right now. And what could I do to change
yeah.
the day for even one person? And you just really laid it out so beautifully.
I'm so glad. Yeah, that's such a great thing. And we say, like, I think our natural thing that a lot of women go to right after that then is like, well, what if nobody's doing that for me? That's real. That's a real feeling. You know, well, what if no one's speaking life to me? What if no one's encouraging me? What if no one's calling me up? And our most honest answer has been, do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them, you know, and after you, there's this like very passive way of teaching people how to encourage by doing it for them and encouraging them. But I also believe in calling women up and saying, hey, I don't know if you've noticed, I've tried to be really encouraging to you because I love you and I see you as just a really beautiful daughter of God. It would mean a lot to me if you would do that for me as well.
Hmm.
I'm not calling you out. I'm not saying you're not encouraging. I'm not saying you're a downer and that I don't want to hang out with you anymore. I'm just saying I believe that you can do this too and that you are a life giver and a life speaker as well. And it would mean the world to me. And even, you know, humbling ourselves again and saying, like, I'm not all good. I'm actually pretty discouraged today. It would mean a ton if you could speak some truth to me over this one thing.
Hmm. Well, I'm talking to Jess Connolly today about her book, Wild and Free, what that means in Christ of who we are, whose we are, and how we are to live our lives, knowing that he has created us already to be wild and free. I'll talk with Jess a little bit more when we come back after our break. If you're listening today, you'd like to get your hands on a copy of her book. She's co-wrote this book with Haley Morgan, her friend, and we have a few copies to give away. You can just go to our website at myfaithradio.com, click on Connecting Faith. You'll be able to submit your name and your address in the subject line. You can just write Wild and Free. We'll try to get you a copy of that book. We'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Connecting Faith, having a great conversation today with Jess Connolly. She's the author of a book called Wild and Free, talking about what it means that we were created by just a wonderful and loving God as this wild creation, this creation that he made to just, of course, absorb not only him, but the people in this world as well. And how free are we to be able to give that love back to other people and be who he's created us to be? Hey, one of the things you write about, Jess, is just this kind of loud, here I am personality that God has gifted you with. And I'm wondering if you're this passionate, energetic personality ever kind of gets you into trouble, or do you ever feel that?
Oh, yeah. yeah, absolutely. And I don't walk through life feeling like just incredibly confident about who I am. It's for me, that's a lot of what the book was just speaking truth to, well, I know it's not broken. I know that God didn't make me a busted mess. I know that he didn't make a big old mistake on me. I know that he's given me a voice, and so I have to ask him what for. but sure, absolutely. I would say my wild personality has gotten me in trouble before. And I think sometimes it's gotten me in trouble because I've genuinely been in the wrong. And I think sometimes it gets me in trouble because people would rather me be quiet and fit into their box. And it takes some discernment and wise people in my life to say which is which. And occasionally they'll say, you know what? That is not real. That thing that person is speaking over you, maybe if they kind of gave you the, like, you're too much eye, or like, ooh, side eye, like, yeah, too much. That's not real. And you don't need to believe that. And you need to throw that off. You need to know that who you are and the Lord is okay. And sometimes there are wise people in my life who say, you know what? I think the more holy and spirit-filled thing for you to do in that situation would have been to be a little quiet and to listen and to maybe ask the Lord to help you to settle a little bit. And I'm really grateful for both pieces of wisdom.
Mm. Well, it takes just some amazing discernment, doesn't it, for us to figure out this person that God's created us to be, and when to be more assertive, when to maybe step back a little bit, and how do we know?
Yeah. How do we know? I mean, I think we have two really reliable tools. One is the Holy Spirit. And I think that he'll give us confirmation, you know, in our hearts. He'll bolster us when we need to be. And I really genuinely believe this better than any human can or will. He'll also bring conviction when there needs to be conviction. I think, you know, most of us deep in our hearts know the different feeling between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation being like, this is an expectation of humans, or this is shame that someone else is trying to put on me. This isn't like an actual conviction from the Lord. And we know that convicted feeling, like deep in our hearts, like I shouldn't have done that, or I should have done that. I need to shift that. I need to change what I did there. And I think the second most, you know, helpful tool is community, is being in community. I say that I've probably learned more in the last 4 years, just from like casual looks of my friends, just casual looks, like a casual nod that says like, you're doing good, mom. I told a story a few weeks ago at a speaking engagement about the other day, one of my children was having an absolute meltdown, just losing their minds. And I was trying really hard to discipline them and just kind of control the situation and get through and get out of the public eye. And I had a friend of mine look at me across the room and just gave me the sweetest, most silent nod. And I knew what she meant. I knew she was trying to tell me, like, you're doing the right thing. You're doing good. Keep going. And at the same time, I've learned a lot from just, you know, a hurt look on someone's face when I say something that's really selfish. And sometimes, obviously, it's going to go beyond even looks on people's faces. But I think utilizing community to really to say, like, hey, this is who I think the Lord is calling me to be. How does that line up with how you see me and how you see the Lord and how you interpret his word? I think that's just a really, really, really valuable tool.
Well, it sounds like it's essential that we not only have friends, but that we are friends as well. And you've given us just some really great ideas and ways to think about being a friend.
I'm a huge community friend lover. I'm a friend girl through and through.
So tell me a little bit about what you and Haley have planned then for the future. Are you going to do another project?
You know, I don't think we have anything planned right now. Her and I, we have separate books that we're working on our own. Haley's on a sabbatical right now, so she's taking a short break from ministry and stuff like that. And I kind of go into the fall just guns blazing. I have a lot of speaking to do this fall and a second book to write. We both have really very full lives with four kids. We each have four kids about the same ages. And so a lot more of the same, a lot more of ministering where we're at and loving our husbands and kids and the women in our churches and in our communities, and also trying to steward this this community of women who are charging ahead wild and free.
Well, we look forward to each and every part that you're going to not only produce for us, but what we get to hear about the wonderful things you're doing with your own family as well. And as a mom, I can just say kudos. And if I could give you the good look, I would give you the good look through the radio.
Thank you. I
hope that for all moms who are listening, that you've been encouraged today just from Jess's commentary on her book, Wild and Free. And I would highly encourage you to pick up a copy. We'll have information about that on our website as well. Jess, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And if you were listening and just caught part of the interview and you'd like to get the whole thing, you can just go to byfaithradio.com, click on Connecting Faith. All of our podcasts will be available there, and you can listen to the show in its entirety or share it with one of those women who you feel is a kindred spirit as well and could use some encouragement. Thanks so much for joining us on Connecting Faith, and have a great day.